I'm Brian.
I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your source for the information and the inspiration to help you start and manage and grow your business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 237. Welcome back to the studio, Brian.
It's good to be back, although I'm getting a little nervous.
Why?
Because eventually I'll be the only one in the studio.
Yeah, that's true. That'll be in a month, you know. It's just a month away. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. Maybe we'll have to get, like, you know, seller guests to come in, and then, you know, I'll still feel like, okay, I'm connected.
Yeah, I don't think our audience is that interested, but who cares? I'll tell them anyway. So I'm moving, and we're going to be doing full remote, but the studio here on campus is still open. So Brian or any other employees or even seller guests who are visiting the campus can come in and record.
With the fancy mics.
With the fancy schmancy mics, which let's hope they're working. But I'll be coming up, you know, once a month or so. It's not like I won't ever be here again, but... And you'll still see me on the screen, Brian.
Yes. Although it's easy for me to, like, go to another page and then I don't see you on the screen. Maybe that's a good thing.
I don't know. I can't comment on that topic. Ask me how the move's going, by the way.
How is the move going?
Well, if you're local in the San Jose area and you like to thrift at Savers, you may want to stop by and pick up some shirts, because I'm about to tomorrow dump off hundreds of my inventory that I just don't want to drag with me.
Do you use any strategy to go through your inventory? You know, divide it up in any way, or just...
Well, the only thing I'm keeping a small selection of shirts that are mostly Hawaiian. And some of these shirts, I looked at the tags, I've had them for almost 10 years. They're all going back into the great universe of recycling and rethrifting, and good luck, because I'm just taking a loss.
And then you'll bring one in for the studio to be your, like, you know, I don't know.
Avatar?
Yes, your avatar. While you're online, we have a Griff presence in the room always.
You want me to bring in a shirt for that reason?
Yeah, we can hang it on the chair, or we can hang it next to the eBay for Business podcast banner.
Why not just a cutout of me? There used to be one that existed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where it went.
We should find it.
Well, it's a good question. I have no idea where it went. But the only other thing I have that's a representation of me is a bobblehead doll.
Oh, we could do that, and then we could throw pins at it. Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to tell you that.
It's made of plastic. The pins won't stick, so.
Well, besides your move, I see the topic this week is business policies, one of your favorites.
It is one of my favorites because, you know, I'm on a mission. I've abandoned my previous mission of getting people to stop using that stupid word vintage. I lost that war, so wave the white flag, although it won't stop me from talking about it. And now I'm on a tear about getting sellers to use business policies. And I asked one of our team members, Rika Patel, and she's going to join me in a few minutes, actually. And I know you have to leave for another meeting, but Rika and I are going to talk about why you really should be using business policies. And she says she has a little bit of news to share.
Well, that's good. I'm going to be looking forward to listening to that session.
Hey, I see we have no news this week, Brian.
Correct. News is on the short spring hiatus, but we urge all sellers to check the announcement board every day at www.ebay.com/announcements, or you can subscribe to the seller news feed and get updates to the announcement board as they are posted.
How does one subscribe?
They can go to options on any page. And then click the little down arrow and you'll get a list of things that you can do. And one of them will say subscribe. And you can subscribe to the announcement board there. You can also use that exact same functionality to subscribe to What's New, which is also where we post changes. And any thread or discussion forum that you're interested in, that you're kind of following, maybe you're hopping in and out of, you can subscribe there. And when someone posts, you get noticed. And then there's stuff that you can do too. Like, I subscribe to a lot of forums, as you can imagine, in my role. I don't want to get notified throughout the day. So what do? Every morning when I come in, there's a daily digest of everything that was posted, and I can click on that, including the podcast, every single Tuesday.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can keep in touch with what we are doing or not doing, as the case may be. Hey, I see Rika is ready to enter the studio. So
great.
I'll let you go. You'll be back for the You Got Questions segment, yes?
I will.
Good. Let's cue the segue music, please. We occasionally receive questions about business policies, specifically how to set them up. But many sellers have waited to opt into business policies, and when they finally do, they can be really overwhelmed by the number of policies that eBay's system has already set up for them, and they'll back out of opting in. I've heard this numerous times. but we don't want you to opt out. I got to tell you, one of the best things we ever did was business policies. When they're properly configured, they can make listing new items so fast and easy. And here to explain in greater detail the why, and of course, we'll get to the how, is eBay product team lead Rika Patel. Rika, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Griff.
Rika, can you explain exactly what a business policy is?
One easy way of thinking of business policies is like your templates or preferences. Let's say you want to create a preference for shipping. Let's say you're using USPS and you have a fixed cost. You can set up a preference saying that I want to use flat shipping, USPS, $5 or however else you want to set it up. And you set that up. And if you do have a range of items where, let's say, the shipping might be different depending on the size or the weight, you can set up multiple preferences. And then in your listing flow, all that you have to do is select the policy that you want to apply, and you're all set. So business policies effectively saves you setting up over 100 fields in all across returns, payments, and shipping.
Right. I think shipping is probably the one that comes to everyone's mind, but you could have different return policies.
You could. Yep.
And you could have different payment policies too, mm-hmm. although there's not a wide range of those.
That's right.
But I know some sellers, they like to have some listings, they want immediate payment, and others they don't. Mm-hmm. They may want to be able to combine shipping, for example. Right. So they don't want their buyer to immediately pay. So just so I understand, and I think I do, if I'm a business policy user and say I'm setting up a new listing, I don't have to put all of the, well, in the case of shipping, for example, the shipping settings like the carrier, the service class, handling time, whether it's flat rate or calculated. I just select the right policy from the dropdown of policies in that part of the listing flow. And these are policies I've created and everything is filled in.
Yes.
Okay, so can I change or edit business policies on the fly?
Absolutely. And that is the other big advantage of business policies. So let's say if you had 100 listings associated with the business policy, and let's say your shipping carrier increased their prices. Now, instead of you having to go into every listing and editing the price there, you could just make that change in your policy and it automatically flows through all of the listings.
Oh, so if I have a policy in place on a live listing and I change that policy, it immediately is reflected in all those live listings.
Yes, it does.
I didn't know this. People think I know everything about eBay. Folks, this is proof. I don't. Another thing I don't know, and I'm hoping you can enlighten me, is there a limit to the number of business policies a seller can create?
No, there is no limit. But having said that, if you have more than, let's say, 25 policies, you really want to look at how you're managing your processes. Maybe this is an opportunity for you to, categorize your items and consolidate your policies.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine why anyone would need 25 or 50 shipping policies, for example.
Yeah, some sellers have very unique items. And in that case, the size and the weight and dimensions and all of that can vary very differently. For those sellers, you might see the need for more number of policies. But that's the other thing that you may want to evaluate. Like if you're one of those sellers where every item is unique, then you may want to consider if business policies is indeed right for you.
Yeah, I suppose if it's all like flat rate, but most of our sellers use calculated, so that shouldn't be an issue, right? Yeah. I know I have some items that I only sell by, for example, UPS, mm-hmm. and others that I'm willing to ship USPS first class because I know they're going to weigh less than a pound. Mm-hmm. Those are my two big distinctions. But then I discovered over time that maybe I want to offer a business policy that gives the buyer the option of three services, mm-hmm. but I may not want to use that for every listing.
Right.
So once you start thinking about the different combinations, like you could have one or two or three options for a buyer, I guess it makes sense that maybe over time you can get up to like 25 or more business policies.
Correct.
But I have to tell you, I've gone through all of mine and I've made sure that they're clear to me. And that's part of setting up a business policy is you give it a name and a description. And at first I thought very little of that until I realized that when I went to assign a business policy, I needed to know exactly what that right. policy was. When you're setting it up, giving it a name that makes sense to you as a seller is really important.
That's right. That's right. You want to give it a descriptive name that you can use in your listing flow then.
Okay. So when we talk on the podcast about business policies and when the question comes in, and occasionally we'll see this on our Facebook group, it'll be a seller who will say, I just did X and it was confusing. And I'll say, well, are you using business policies? And they'll say, oh no, I went to that business policies page. And the minute I got there, there were like 100 business policies already set up. And I was so overwhelmed. I said, I just don't know. I can't even begin to tackle this. And I backed out. What do you say to a seller about how to tackle that situation? Why is it there? But then how can a seller straighten that out so it makes sense?
There is some history behind this, and we made a few assumptions, and over time we've learned that those assumptions aren't quite the way we had expected sellers would interact with business policies. So we are actually making a change where if you opt into business policies, you will actually see a clean slate and you can start off from there. So that change is in process. It should go out in a month or so. Yes, so you will start with a clean slate. And once you opt into business policies, you can create the policies that you want, like those four or five that you think are going to be the most useful. Once you've done that, then you can edit your listings in bulk and assign the policies to those listings.
Because once you've set them up, and I know I've seen this in the bulk editor, you can go into the bulk editor and you can change business policies for a select group of listings.
That's right.
So I was all set, Rika, to go through these complex steps about how to do this. But now, maybe we don't have to do that. We'll just tell people if you're really overwhelmed to wait a month or so and there'll be a clean slate when you go to opt in.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I slated another 20 minutes for this podcast, but I don't think we're going to need it. It's good news, really. It's very good news. And you think a month from now?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on it. And this will be for people who aren't opted in, but someone like me who's already opted in, we're not going to see anything like that.
That's right. So yeah, if you want to talk about if you're already opted in and if you have those many policies, how do you do the cleanup? We could do that.
Yeah, let's do that. So maybe you did opt in and you never bothered to clean up all your policies. What should you do?
First of all, we have a cleanup button that you can use. And what that'll do is if you have a whole bunch of policies with no listings associated to it, it will go and clean those up for you. That should automatically reduce a lot of noise. And then the next step would be for you to look at policies that have very small number of listings. And you may want to see that, do you want to reassign this to one of your standard policies that you use most often? And you could reassign those listings to another policy. And that way you can consolidate it and bring it down to a manageable level.
I've been through that process in the very beginning. I haven't done it in a while, but there's an option, as you say, for consolidation. And I always assume that looks for duplicate policies that are just slightly different, but actually kind of the same thing, and then just puts them together into one business policy.
It just moves the listings from having been assigned to one policy to the one that you choose it to be.
At that point. Well, it makes sense. So I could see this could take a few minutes, but it's not overwhelming if you go through the process itself.
Correct. The process itself is not overwhelming, but I've seen sellers that have pages and pages of policies. So that's where it can get a little challenging. And again, the best way to tackle that would be to start from the bulk listing flow, pick the listings that you want to associate with a policy. That way it'd be much faster rather than you trying to clean up one policy at a time.
So we now have two schools of thought here. If you haven't opted in for business policies because you're overwhelmed, wait a month. Rika says there's good news. There'll be a cleaner opt-in process. If you've already opted in, but you realize that your business policies are kind of, well, what other way to put it? They're a mess. There are too many of them. Then just use the tools that eBay provides on that page for deleting those that you're not using and then consolidating those that are somewhat similar into one policy so that you have something that's manageable. I know that every year I go through my business policies now just to make sure, are there any that I've stopped using that I used to use? Because I used to use a lot of USPS Priority. I don't anymore. The only time I do is when I offer it as a second option. So in most of my shipping, except for things under a pound, are now UPS. And that was a change that happened gradually. So there were a lot of policies I just got rid of because I was never using them. So I think even if you've set them up correctly, depending on how your business changes over time, you may want to revisit and then clean up or consolidate policies based on your current shipping preferences that you provide to buyers.
Yep, that's right. And the other thing is, if you do have a whole bunch of policies that are just lying around, it's okay. It's not hurting you in any way.
No, yeah. it just might be confusing.
If right.
You know, you're looking at a drop-down list, there may suddenly be a lot of options. So we talked about editing the policy, and then it covers all of the listings. That's when you go to the business policy page and edit it. But if I'm in a new listing and I have an unusual situation, I can pick up existing policy during the listing flow, and then there's an edit feature there. But if I choose that, does it edit all of the listings that have that policy or just the one I'm creating?
No, it edits all of your listings. So that's one thing that you want to be careful about. If you're in the listing flow and you edit a policy from there, you just have to remember that it's going to affect every listing that's associated with it.
Oh, okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, so if you do have an unusual situation and you feel that you need to do something different for this listing, then in that case, maybe you just want to create a new policy.
Are you sure of that?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought there was a place where, I'm just going to check this. If I create a listing and... I'm not doubting you. I just want to double check.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because I thought I saw something different. So I'm going to choose a business policy. I'm going to say I'm going to edit. And it says here, oh, yeah, you're right. So what it suggests is it'll edit the policy. If you want to save it as a different policy, give it a different name.
Right.
Why did I doubt you?
No, no worries. It's always good to ask questions.
Yeah, it is good to ask questions. Well, Rika, this is all great news, and I'm usually up to speed on stuff, so I'm glad you were able to spring that surprise on us. It's news to me as well about the changes coming to business policies. This is excellent news. And I think once they're in place, maybe we can have you come back and talk a little bit about how it works, just in case it's not clear to some sellers. My goal, of course, is to get every seller who sells on eBay using business policies, because, I mean, I'm sold and makes life so much easier. Why would you not use them? Are there other plans for some changes to business policy that you can hint about that's coming in the next year besides this cleanup to when you opt in?
Yeah, as a product manager, I'm always looking for ways in terms of how can I make this easier for our sellers to use. I personally feel that this is one of those tools that have so much value, and it helps you speed up your listing process quite a bit. If you're a fairly large seller, you should be considering using business policies, and I'm always looking for ways to make this better. And if sellers have any suggestions for us, I would love to hear that.
How do they get their suggestions to you, Rika?
So we do have, from business policies itself, there is send feedback, so they can use that, and that feedback comes to me.
Okay. And again, where do we go to get started? If we've decided, now that we've listened to this, now we want to actually jump into it, mm-hmm. Where do we go to start?
So you can go to your account settings, and there you'll see a link for business policies. You click on that, and then it'll ask you to opt into business policies, and that's where you'd start.
And you say that this will happen within a month, hopefully.
Yes.
Okay, so check back. If you've been putting off opting into business policies, check in about a month and see if the new process is in place that'll help you get started a lot easier. Well, I want to thank you, Rika. This has been really helpful.
Thank you for having me here, Griff.
If you have a question about business policies, you can always leave feedback on the business policies page and Rika's team will get it, or you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. And if it's just general questions, we'll do our best to provide answers and guidance on how to use this really valuable feature when it comes to selling on eBay. And we'll also put a link in the summary overview for episode 238 that will take you to the help pages on eBay for business policies. Oh, Brian, I'm glad you're back in the studio for You Got Questions, because you're going to want to listen to the recording we just did with Rika about business policies.
I bet. Yeah. I'll learn some stuff, I bet. And Rika's just a great partner of ours.
Yeah. I didn't know what they were. I'll keep a surprise for you. Our listeners already know. But there's a feature coming that's going to make adoption a lot easier.
Fantastic.
So listen, call Rika.
Probably won't call her on the weekend, but I'll listen Tuesday morning.
You should. In the meantime.
You got questions about shipping policies or anything?
We got answers to those and so much more. And our first question this week, Brian, comes from seller Arian, who emailed the following to podcast@ebay.com. Hi there. I want to thank you both for the podcast. Listening to you guys is almost as enjoyable as watching football. I suppose that's a compliment.
Maybe not.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Regarding the bid auction option, in my experience, users with less than 25 reviews, I think he means feedbacks, are more likely not to pay after the auction is over. would it be possible for sellers to filter their target buyers based on how many reviews they got? For example, I don't think a buyer with only 5 feedbacks would be a good fit for my electronic auctions. 80% of the time, I end up not getting paid. I'm going to have to relist the item, and then I have to add them to my blocked bidder list. Filtering buyers in this way could improve the overall experience for both parties. Well, on that one, we got some good news. But in the meantime, he says, would you, eBay, ever consider implementing a system that a filter to the one used for sellers where buyers must first establish their credibility before gaining access to certain features? For instance, new buyers could be required to demonstrate good behavior and establish a track record of successful transactions before being granted bidding privileges. This could help prevent the occurrence of non-paying bidders and buyers alike. Thank you for considering my suggestions, Arian.
Some good points. One, 80% unpaid item rate is really high, extremely high. So there might be something else going on.
Well, my first thought was, it's electronic equipment. Why are you auctioning it? Is it rare, one of a kind?
That's a good point.
Auction format may not necessarily be the right format for this.
Especially, you could use advanced search and go in and see, like, what's the selling rate. If it's pretty much the same, you could actually go in and pick a price that's competitive.
And if you know, Arian, about the block buyer list, you'll also know on that same page, it's on a page called Buyer Requirements. And at the bottom of that page, there's several options that you can set. And one of them is block buyers who currently have a feedback score of 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. And you get to select that. So if they only have 5 feedback, you can block them. Although, and I'm sure you agree, Brian.
I will agree with what I think you're going to say.
I think that's risky.
Yes.
Because you're making the assumption that every buyer that starts off is a bad buyer and is not going to pay. And you may be pushing away sales.
And the reason we don't go all the way to zero is everybody starts at zero. And so we'd be closing off our marketplace to new customers. And that's not good for eBay. And it's also not good for our sellers. The vast, vast majority of buyers pay in a timely manner, even when they're new.
And if you've been paying attention to, like, the spring seller update and what we've been talking about for future enhancements as they're coming. In fact, Jamie Iannone, our CEO, has made this clear. This is the year that we start eliminating the possibility for unpaid transactions.
And I think they're going to start with offers, and they're going down offers. So auctions will come later, which is what Arian does. But definitely it's on the radar of not just sellers, but our CEO.
Now, if you want to know, if you're listening and you think, I want to know about these buyer requirements, the caution here is use them with caution, but you can find the links. It's in My eBay. If you go to My eBay and then click the account tab and then selling preferences and then look on the left and there's something called, managing buyers or buyer something, and you can edit that and it'll take you to the page. You can also find it by going to help and contact at the top of any eBay page. Remember we did a commercial?
Yes, we did.
Maybe we need to play it again.
An ESE.
An eBay service announcement.
Yeah, ESA.
ESA, right.
And what are some of the other requirements, Griff?
Well, they're all really old legacy requirements. So there's one that says you can block buyers who are currently winning or who have bought up to 100. You get to select the number of your items in the last 10 days. That I don't understand. I mean, I did years ago. And then there's another one where you can block buyers. It's a requirement that says you can block buyers who have caused from 2 to 5 cancellations or unpaid purchases within 1, 6, or 12 months. And you get to select the parameters. Those are some of the things you can consider. You just type into help and contact buyer requirements, and it'll take you right there.
The second one around the cancellations or unpaid purchases also speaks to the value of sellers using the unpaid item reporting tools that we have, because that information feeds into a tool like this that then helps everyone else in the marketplace.
Yeah, and we have never made it public, but if there's a buyer who's a chronic non-paying buyer, they get removed from eBay eventually. But because we're putting all this resources into finally eliminating this Achilles heel of eBay, which has been in place since the day one, which is it's the only place online where you can purchase something, it's removed from the shelf, marked as sold, but you don't get paid. And it's just not the way the internet works when it comes to commerce.
Except for us.
Except for us, makes us special.
And really only in offers now and auctions, because sellers have recourse in it with anything buy it now. they can use immediate pay.
I would say, Arian, consider not using the auction format for these items unless they are rare and unless they are, you know, highly sought after, one of a kind. I know of some electronic equipment. In fact, I've got something I'm about to list that I know that's really sought after, but I'm still just going to give it a fixed price given the sold prices for the same item.
And then you use immediate pay, I assume.
Oh, I always use immediate pay. Anyway, Arian, I hope that answered your question. And our next question, Brian, is from eBay seller Cheryl. She actually sent in two questions, and why don't you read Cheryl's email, Brian?
Sure. Hi, Brian and Griff. I'm a longtime eBay seller, but new to your podcast, and I love it. Your question segment always provides an answer to something that I didn't even know I had a question about. You are always encouraging email, so thought I would reach out. I have a few questions that I'm hoping you can assist with. Promoted listing standard. I use this feature regularly with just about every listing that I create. However, I noticed recently that it seems you can only set a standard percentage versus being able to select one with each listing. I really like being able to choose an ad rate as I was creating a listing, and I'm missing the transparency there. Am I missing something or doing something wrong as I create my promoted listings? Second question is around shipping. I often have to calculate shipping for my item. I sell one of a kind, so not much is standardized. In the past, you could select up to 4 shipping options in the calculated shipping area. Now just 2. Is eBay looking to fix this? I hope so. Thanks in advance for your answers. I would love an eBay mug, if there are any left, or other swag that you are hinting about. Best, Cheryl McSherry, store name, The Resale Studio. Well, thanks for those questions, Cheryl.
Wait a minute, what swag have we been hinting at? The new mug?
I think the new mug. But we didn't say it was going to be a mug. We just said it was new swag. But it's more than a mug.
It's actually a thermos-type mug. You know, it's hot and cold. Keeps your beverage hot, keeps your beverage cold. It's tall. It has the beautiful eBay for Business podcast logo on it. And bonus, it comes with a Bluetooth speaker. It's like a multitasking device, so you can drink and listen at the same time.
So you can listen to the eBay for Business podcast as you drink your beverage of choice.
Right. And just be careful, because I know there's certain times in the podcast where you might want to spit out your coffee or whatever your beverage is. Just don't get the Bluetooth speaker wet. So this one perplexed me, and I checked both, and she didn't send screenshots, so I just had to assume. I know that when I create a listing, at the bottom of the listing page, there's a section for promoting an item, and it gives a suggested ad rate for that single listing, but there's a little pencil icon right next to it, and it's for editing. And if you click that pencil icon, you can change the percentage shown in that little box, and that's what'll get applied. Cheryl, if you're not seeing that little pencil, take a screenshot and send it back to us at podcast@ebay.com, and we'll see what you're seeing. And it's kind of the same thing for her shipping question. I remember years ago, it was only 3 options that you could add. And at some time in the last couple of years, we've added 4. So when you set up a shipping policy, you can create a policy that has 4 different options for separate carriers, separate classes of service. And that's really helpful for a lot of sellers who may want to be able to offer these options to their buyers. Now, if you're setting up a business policy and you're only seeing that you can add only 2 different shipping options, let us know. Send a screenshot. And Brian, do you have anything to add? Is there a reason why she might only be seeing 2?
I can't think of anything.
You know, I haven't seen the quick listing page that new sellers get as their listing option when they first start off eBay. I wonder if that's just 2.
It could be like, a quick listing. But she said she saw 4 before.
She said she saw 4, right.
Yeah, so I can't imagine we took it away from the quick listing tool, but we haven't seen anything about it.
So the drama continues. Cheryl, send us an email with some screenshots about what you're seeing, and we'll see if we can help from there too.
The only other thing that I'd suggest on promoted listings is if you go to Seller Hub, there's a selling resources like little bucket in there. And in there, there's a promoted listings link. And if you click on that, you can create campaigns and do things like that. So maybe go in and see, like if you know you've got a standard campaign that you're always going to use, you could go create the campaign and then it's easy to attach so you don't have to do it individually.
Right. But I think a lot of sellers want that control. They want to be able to, every single listing, have its own ad rate. And you can do that when you're listing the item. There's also a way to do it once the item is live. So you can take a listing that's live in your active view in Seller Hub listings, look for the drop-down menu to the left, and there's one that says promote, if it's not already promoted, and you can set the ad rate there for a live listing. You can, if it's already being promoted, the link changes to edit promotion. So you can then change it
right.
or remove it from a promotion from there. I hope that helps. I'm curious. I want to see what she's seeing. I hope that little pencil icon's showing up.
Me too. I can't imagine it's not. But
yeah, if you click it, that's the edit. You know, normally we'd say edit, click here. Everything is emoticons and emojis and icons now.
Yeah, pretty soon people won't understand it because the really young kids probably don't even know what a pencil is. 5-year-olds.
They won't know what words mean.
Just emojis.
Right.
It's like we're going from letters to, Sanskrit.
Hieroglyphs. Yeah.
Well, thanks for those, Cheryl.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. Our next question comes from seller Brandon, who sent this to podcast@ebay.com. Hi, Brian and Griff. I feel I'd be doing your show an injustice if I didn't mention I'm a huge fan and have listened to every episode. Every episode?
I love it.
There's 236 plus this one. That's a yeah. lot of listening. Well, who am I to complain, right? I know you may get tired of hearing it, but I felt that I needed to say it. Now, down to business. I'm a small...
Wait, I just have to say one thing.
What?
Griff never will get tired of hearing that.
Okay, I admit it. Yes, I'm needy. I'm emotionally needy. I need to know that people like what we're doing. I love the feedback because every time we record this, I think we're just like going out into the ether and no one's paying attention.
We're not when you look at the metric.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I like to hear the verbatims. Those are what I look for. So Brandon says, I'm a small potato seller. Can you sell potatoes on eBay? I guess you can, right?
As long as it's okay by the FDA.
Yeah. Brandon, are these like Idaho Gold or those little red russet potatoes? Yeah.
Already mashed.
But now that you've said small potato seller, Brandon, I'm afraid we're going to read about it for the rest of the episode. And Brandon says, I don't move the volume of many of your guests, especially this year. I've been too busy making French fries. Who's too busy to make money? He says, my question is when I'm creating coupon codes and I want to create a private coupon with the maximum redemptions per buyer set to 1. Does that mean per the time I send them the code or ever? This may sound like a silly question. There's no silly questions, Brandon, only really silly answers on this show.
I'm sure he knows if he's listened to every episode.
Right. Yeah, we don't always get it right. But my idea was to create a 20% off coupon to reward buyers. Ooh, I like that. But I didn't know if I could use it again later if that same buyer bought more items from me. Thank you for any insights you can provide, Brandon. And my username is urban.farmer.
Hence, small potatoes.
I wonder if he sells like big spuds as well.
But he's an urban farmer.
Urban. So he's working in the city on like one of those lots.
Like multi-tiered, you know.
Hydroponics. Complex.
Yeah, hydroponics thing.
Cool.
That is. Well, Brandon... A coupon that is set with a maximum redemption of 1 means that the buyer to whom you send that coupon can redeem it at any time, but only once.
Mm-hmm.
That is, once the buyer applies the coupon to an eBay purchase, the coupon expires. It cannot be used again by that buyer.
You can send the coupon to other buyers, of course. In fact, you can send them to hundreds of buyers if you want to. But each of those buyers would only be able to redeem that particular coupon once. So if you have a buyer who you've sent that one redemption only and you want to send them another, you're going to have to recreate a coupon. And sellers do this. You can set up a coupon that can be redeemed twice, 3 times. And every time they come back, you can dangle that coupon in front of us as well. Here's 1 for 2. And here's 1 for 3. And more power to you. Bye, bye, bye. So yeah, you can do that. Anything about coupons you want to add?
Nothing else for me for coupons. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
The only other thing, if you want to do like a mass 20% off, you can do that too through the marketing tab within Seller Hub. You know, you can do markdown stuff.
I get coupons from sellers. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes the thing that I find depressing about coupons, which I would say sellers should be aware of from a buyer perspective, is I'll get a coupon for like a specific item, you know, or it's not just a coupon, but it's like 3% off. Oh, okay.
Not going to move the needle.
It's not. If you're going to give coupons, you got to make them attractive. So I always think a 5% or lower coupon is a waste of time.
And if you think about retailers, you know, they're normally doing it's 10% off or it's, you know, $8 off on a purchase of 40 or something. It's something substantial.
Yeah, I always think if your goal is to get that item sold and still keep a margin on the item, then you're going to want to balance that. But if you're in what I call the liquidation phase for that item, and believe me, no matter who you are, how big or small you are as a seller, if you're in business, you're going to need to liquidate merchandise. That's just how it works. So liquidating merchandise, you don't want to have those little itsy bitsy discounts and these little itsy bitsy coupons. You're going to want to say, okay, it's 40% off, take it or leave it. And when I see, like for a fragrance, somebody's just taken 40% off, ka-ching, you know, it's the way to get buyers to open up those wallets so the dollars just fly into your bank account. That's our last question, Brian.
Griff, I have one more question.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
If that's okay, well, I'll sneak this one in.
You can.
And it's a little teaser maybe for your guest next week, because you have Chad coming in, I believe.
Yeah, Chad Stewart, yeah.
So in Portland, I had a seller come up to me, and I'll think of her username but before the end of this question, but she said to me, when are we going to fix the ability to ship to Germany? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, with the new German Packaging Act, I've turned off Germany. And I said, well, you should turn it back on and use eBay International Shipping.
Right.
And she said to me, no, that's not true. And I tried to convince her. So what? I'm hoping she's going to listen, and maybe you can try and convince her as well. There's no limitations in shipping to Germany. But if you go through eBay International Shipping, right, you don't have to worry about the German International or the Packaging Act.
And in fact, even if you weren't going through the, are you looking up her username? It had girl in the middle, remember?
It did. This was from Farm Girl Scavenger with a U, girl, G-U-R-L.
Girl.
Yep. Hopefully she'll listen in and hear your response as well.
Well, she may be completely reticent and resistant to anything I have to say, but here are the facts, because I've researched this heavily. When the German Packaging Act kind of got sprung on us last summer, there's an episode where, you know, I'm trying to explain it as I'm going through the whole process. What we've learned since then, and we've talked about on the air here, is that if you are not a business seller, which means you have not identified on eBay as a business seller, you don't have to worry. If you are a business seller and you have provided for your business ID, your social security number, which most sellers do, you don't have to worry. Only if you're a seller, you're self-identified as a business seller on eBay, and you provided an employee identification number, now you'd have to worry if you're shipping internationally on your own. However, all of that is preempted if you ship your parcels through eBay International Shipping. Think about it, why this is the case. eBay has negotiated with the German government as the shipper of record, because when you ship through eBay International Shipping, the item goes to a hub. Right now, there's a single hub in Illinois. There'll be a second one opening up soon. And once it's at the hub and accepted, eBay becomes the shipper of record, not you as a seller, eBay. And eBay already has that all taken care of with the German government. They've registered, they do it. You as a seller do not have to worry about Germany ever again. And as you'll hear next week, Chad will back me up on this because I've already recorded that interview. But what he also says is that, and I suspected this and I've made mention of it, is that other governments are going to start following the German.
I know France already had stuff in the works.
And the UK is thinking about it. You'll never, as a US seller, you'll never have to worry about any of these if you ship through eBay International Shipping, period, dot, end of story. Farm Girl Scavenger, you don't have to worry. And if you don't believe us, there's nothing more I can tell you.
And I think I gave her my card or my email address. So if she still doesn't believe us, send me an email and I'll put you in touch with Chad.
Okay.
That was the last question for me.
We never have too many questions, Brian.
Well, and we also get a lot on community. I might start bringing some of the popular ones that come up in the eBay community sometimes as well.
Okay. So I want to thank our questioners this week, Arian, Cheryl, and Brandon, for sending their questions in.
And we're looking for your questions. Yes, you. You know you have one. So why not call it in on our eBay for Business voice line at 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. That's the number. You can call it any time of the day, any day of the week, and just leave a question or a comment, and we'll either put it on the air if it's appropriate, or we may call you if you're willing and have you join us live for one of our next episodes.
We always enjoy those. And if you're a little on the shy type, relax, or as Aaron Rodgers would say, R-E-L-A-X. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now it's time at that point in the episode where we close out with our world-famous three-point reminder checklist, whatever.
One, check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day. Check.
Check. Two, don't be afraid. Start using business policies today. You heard Rika. It's easy. You'll be astounded how much time they're going to save you when you're creating a listing. You'll wonder, why did I wait this long? Check.
And three, need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode. Big check.
Big, big check. On our next episode, episode 238, we'll meet eBay's Director of Exports, Chad Stewart, and he's going to answer questions about the new eBay International Shipping Program.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Rika Patel.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.